Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with my colleagues, Joseph Umar and Ernesto Araujo. Elections underway in Central and South America that are either not decided or challenged by violence and the unknown of the left-of-center condominium that is under construction in the Western Hemisphere. Joseph, I begin with you on Ecuador. The most salient fact is that the two candidates are under threat all the time of violence because one of the major candidates was assassinated by unknown actors associated with cartels some weeks past. And I read a caption that appeared on the Reuters report. Ecuadorian presidential candidate Daniel Noboa, wearing a bulletproof vest, walks after attending a televised debate with Ecuadorian presidential candidate Luisa Gonzalez ahead of the October runoff. These are the two major candidates. One of them will win. But it is stark, Joseph, to see a bulletproof vest on a candidate who's walking off a soundstage in Ecuador. The Ecuadorian election you're very familiar with because you knew the now deceased candidate. Has it all descended into threats and counter-threats? Are we seeing gunfire routinely now?
Yes, John, Ecuador is under siege. It's under siege by transnational organized crime, and it's yet to be determined if there are some political forces even behind that. The murder assassination of Fernando Villavicencio was a strong signal that wasn't just for Ecuador, it was for the entire region, Latin America, that unfortunately seems to be heading towards this new wave of political violence. And there have been other political figures that have been killed in Ecuador. We can't forget the mayor of Manta, a coastal city along the Pacific that was killed months before Fernando Villavicencio, presidential contender in Ecuador. But I also want to point your attention to something that I learned about when I was in Colombia recently. In August, and something that is now hitting the headlines in Bogota, which is the they're having a regional election on the 29th of this month of October. That means mayors and governors of important parts of the country will be heading to the polls. And one of the leading candidates in one of the most important cities of Colombia, Medellin, which is really the economic hub of Colombia, is a former presidential candidate and former mayor named Federico Gutierrez, or colloquially known as Fico Gutierrez. Fico Gutierrez is leading that race by more than 40 points. I mean, he's well ahead, and he's all projections. He's going to become the next mayor of Medellin, which currently was under the stronghold of a leftist mayor that's aligned to some level with the current government of President Petro. He just announced publicly last week that he's receiving credible death threats, that they put a bounty on his head. I met with him while I was in Colombia, and he expressed this concern to me privately. I obviously didn't share it because it was done in private. But now that he said this publicly, it's very concerning. And knowing that Ecuador is right next door, I think all these candidates have to be very careful. And it's a shame that they have to wear bulletproof vests and headgear and helmets and things like that. But unfortunately, in today's environment and the instability and security that's rising throughout these countries, and no one can be that safe and know that sure. So Federico Gutierrez is under threat inside Colombia.
Ernesto, violence and Brazil are not alien to each other. That was true in the previous election. Mr. Bolsonaro there was an attempted assassination. It was always possible during the recent election. And the violence of political conversation seems to be a theme now. Is it also in Brazil, the largest country, the most important economy in South America?
Well, John, fortunately, any more violent actions are on the decrease, I think, in Brazil since the election. But there's a feeling of malaise around people. And that's what is going very deep in Brazil, the feeling that these institutions do not represent the people, that the institutions are not there to serve the people, that the game is rigged. Okay, so but this is taking different forms, and not, fortunately, the form of violence. Something very interesting took place yesterday: the elections for guardianship councils, which are municipal institutions that have to do with parents that cannot keep the guard of their children for this or that reason, for crime or whatever. And conservative or conservative linked candidates, they had a landslide. They won 70% of those positions across the country. And those are regular citizens. They're not affiliated to parties. I mean, for those elections, you don't need to be a party member. So it shows that I think there's a grassroots kind of sentiment that is taking shape. And this is the only place in Brazilian institutions where you can be a part of without having to go through the party system, the traditional political system. So I think that points a good direction of a popular involvement without violence.
The foreign ministries in all these countries have to be aware, however, of the violence that is threatened or that is near to with the cartels. My understanding of cartels is that they get involved in politics when they're unhappy with a decision, but they don't generally lend themselves out as assassins. We've seen that phenomenon, however, assassination of a prosecutor in Colombia after he brought charges against elements that were linked with Hezbollah. We've seen the assassination of the mayor in Ecuador. That's the drug-running cartels down by the coastline. Now, Joseph's mentioned the assassination of a presidential candidate. Is this new, Ernesto? In your time in office, did you worry about candidates having to wear bulletproof vests in different capitals you visited?
Maybe not to that point, but the action of cartels, yes, that's something that came under the radar during my time in office. That's something that was not there before and is pushed away from public consciousness now, the political involvement of cartels and the international political involvement of cartels. That's one of the first things I realized when I got the job and started to get information from here and there. And I was starting to put together that puzzle of how cartels operate in politics and how foreign ministries and the coordination of foreign policies of Latin American countries specifically can help combating that. But this is something that I think was abandoned after I left office, not because of me, but because even the second half of Bolsonaro government, but especially now Lula, they don't want to go much in depth into that. Even maybe there are some links that I can only assume. So that's, I think, a blind spot in international politics today, the role of cartels. People talk about governments, talk about NGOs, talk about, the traditional state and non-state actors. They talk about economic decisions, exchange rate decisions, foreign trade decisions. But more and more, the determinants of power, of the power structure, come from crime, from organized crime, from cartels, drug cartels, child trafficking cartels, for example. So we have to address that. And some governments, like today's Brazilian government, don't want to address that.
Joseph, I come to you on Guatemala. We've watched this story slowly, a drip, drip, drip process since the election. The U.S. State Department said it is, quote, gravely concerned that Guatemala's public ministry is trying to undermine the transfer of power to the president-elect Bernardo Arevalo, who was the overwhelming victor in August. Is Guatemala destabilizing, Joseph, in your measure?
No, absolutely. Guatemala is very destabilized. But I think there's two things that we have to be careful of at this point, because we're getting mixed messaging from both the State Department as well as the Guatemalan political actors. The first thing we have to be careful of is disinformation, because this is, with this level of instability and just the kind of political chaos that's happening, happening and transfolding in Guatemala during the presidential transition. There's a lot of actors that are misinforming, disinforming on what's actually transpiring inside the country. I'm going to be heading to Guatemala soon, and I want to actually find out firsthand what's happening inside the country. Because if you talk to the Yamatei government, they say they're actually upholding the peaceful transition of power. But if you look at the media outlets and other places and some activists, they'll protest and they're saying that he's not, and they're obstructing the transition. On the flip side, I think we also have to be careful of the early alliances that Bernardo Arevalo is going to be holding. It caught my attention that he was participating in the Grupo Puebla meeting that happened this last few days in Mexico. So the Grupo Puebla meeting, for the audience, it's essentially a progressive alliance that was created in 2019 that has authoritarian influences. I'll give you an example. Venezuela's Delcy Rodriguez, who's the former vice president of that country, participated. They never have denounced Venezuela. They haven't denounced Cuba. They have alliances with other dictatorial regimes. And really, it was not just a progressive movement, but it was a legitimization of trying to take autocracies and pour them on the same moral equivalency with democracies inside Latin America. So it's concerning that Bernardo Arevalo is going to shift Guatemala's foreign policy, looking at countries like troublesome countries like Cuba and Venezuela. So his participation, I think, needs to be looked at.
Quickly, Ernesto, there's a drought in Brazil. It's also in Bolivia, across the region. It may be El Nino related, may be just the way that the rain patterns are falling. It's said that the dead fish are poisoning the water and the access to food and drinking supplies is shrinking for hundreds of thousands of people. Does this happen routinely, El Nino time? Can you recall El Nino this early damaging the water of several rivers attached to the Amazon?
Well, John, yes, in principle, we see that as a pattern in previous El Niños. I think one about 6 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, had similar effects of weather disruption like that and the waterway disruption like that. Well, we have drought in the north and west of the country. We have severe thunderstorms in the south. So that's probably related to El Nino. But of course, we have to pay attention to the contribution of environmental degradation in the Amazon region to those patterns. So people tend to jump to the conclusion that this is global climate change. And maybe this has much more to do with local climate change induced by the change in land use. So and that's an issue that has to be addressed from a technical point of view and not as part of discourse like current governments in Brazil, I think in Bolivia too, are doing just by paying allegiance to climate dogmas and not acting. Or even to deforestation. Lula says that he has reduced deforestation in Brazil in this beginning of his government. But this from speaking with people in the Amazon, friends in the Amazon region, they don't see that in practice. So maybe there's some manipulation of numbers. The fact is that Lula talks a lot about ending deforestation, and I think deforestation is there. Maybe it's increasing under his watch, and this is probably contributing at least partially to those phenomena that you described.
Ernesto Araújo, Joseph Omar, Russia in Latin America. Next, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. MODO offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games with free spins, exciting promotions, and always generous jackpots. You can waste your time with the others, or you can win at MODO. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
MODO is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US. If your brain is at full capacity with to-dos, birthdays, and dinner plans, meet Skylight Calendar. It syncs your entire family schedule onto a sleek digital display, so you focus on important things like where you left your coffee. Right now, Skylight is offering our listeners $30 off their 15-inch calendars by going to skylightcal.com/talk. Go to skylightcal.com/talk for $30 off your 15-inch calendar. That's skylightcal.com/talk.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.